It's turbo time.
It is.
Are we still doing that?
I mean, you've been doing it every episode.
You so said you wanted to do it. You said it was the intro, man.
Yeah.
It's been a while. We're back.
We're back.
This is Cocked.
Welcome to Cocked.
Do you want to do a quick five on Golden Demon?
Golden Demon, yeah. Thank you. Why? Okay. So we had a whole cycle about this.
Yeah.
Because we saw the Golden Demon winners and we were like, why is everything so bright?
Dude, this year made me like the skink. Like
the skink? Yeah. The skink was subtle and restrained.
This year I was just like, actually that skink wasn't too bad.
because we saw the
era of disco ball is upon us, yeah, man.
Like I couldn't, because I saw him on the Warcom site and it's like all of the minis, I like my brain couldn't lock in to what they were.
Yeah.
It was just like I had to like look at them and be like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And then I would understand. It was because it's like there's a style right now where everything is non-metallic metal.
Everything is non-metallic metal and every mini is painted with seven different light sources.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's crazy.
Not everything can be reflective all the time.
What are there, like three suns on this planet? Like, it's too much.
But my favorite thing, the funniest thing to me is that like all of the basing and like especially in all the dioramas, like the background and shit is like painted normally. And then you have two dudes that look insane.
Yeah, they look like characters that you've selected in an RTS.
Like, yeah, like
they have like glowing, and then you look at the Instagrams of the people who painted them.
True,
and they
yeah.
look great.
Yeah,
so it's like, well, some of them look great. Some of them are also like way too non-metallic. Mm-hmm.
I shout out to fucking. I mean, he doesn't need our seal of approval. He's a very successful, but like Darren Latham.
Who's that?
He did the it was like the diorama of like the vampire hunters.
Oh yeah, that one's great.
That shit rocks. That guy, I follow that guy on Instagram and he fucks my shit up. He's great. The Death Guard or the not Death Guard, the guy that he painted, it was like a beaky marine with the like skull on the helmet. Rocks.
It's just like so like the part of why they looked bad was Games Workshop's photography being like so overexposed and like wild and like doing a disservice to the work. But then there is also a style right now in like professional painting that's just like too clean is almost the wrong word. It's not like heavy metal style per se.
So I think it's two things. I think it's one is like it's all technique and no artistry. Like you were comparing it to like a math rock song.
Yeah, where exactly. It's like,
this is really impressive, but you got no riffs.
Yeah, where's the riffs? Yeah.
So like that, like the overuse of non-metallic metal, the like. Oh, everything has to be smooth blended and highlighted to like this point of perfection.
There's no like focal point for your eye to settle on. Right? Like,
there's also
the pouch like, on the fucking belt doesn't need the same amount of like highlight and detail as the face because your eye can't settle anywhere.
Like skin has to look like it's made out of a different material from armor.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like I keep seeing orcs that are like.
They look like Toyotas.
They're like this like green beige. It's like the champagne minivan that my mom had in 2008. Like, is not good. And then I do think that the other thing is that it's like, because you bring up heavy metal, which is especially heavy metal right now. And like box art is a thing where it's like the trend for them is like super, super bright, very low contrast. Like everything needs to be highlighted. And it's because the sculpts are becoming more detailed, the box art needs to feature those details more. Mm-hmm. So everything needs to be equally bright. And that's fine for box art that is trying to sell you a miniature, right?
Right, yeah.
But for what is supposed to be like an art piece or what is supposed to like tell a story or something that is supposed to be the highest level of miniature painting and like people trying to follow in that trend. And it's like it's... The shit that we talk about of like, you know, are you like a folk gamer or a product focus gamer is like it kind of applies to that where it's like the trend in Golden Demon right now is product focused painting.
Yeah.
And it's like painting in order to showcase that. And it's like, no, man, like
do something cool.
You sculpted this entire Plague Marine from scratch and you're going to paint it like that. Yeah. Like,
which is an amazing feat. Well, it's also like my favorite part of Golden Demon is the dioramas and the duels.
Yes.
Because they like it's an opportunity to show you something that you've never seen before.
Mm-hmm. And like story. Yes. Narrative,
story. Like there's a whole bunch of Golden Demon dioramas over the year that just show like weird corners of these fictional universes, like a tavern or like you know, a dungeon crawl or like the interior of like a ship, like a bridge on a ship. And there's a little bit of that this year, but not to the extent of like...
The dude who got silver in Diorama did a great job of that.
That was
the like ash waste.
Yeah, they got just a quiet moment and like something that is different. But the guy who did the just that Black Templar commemorative like mini...
That's not a diorama. That's just a thing that they sell.
It was in Duel. Yeah, it was in Duel, which like the thing about Duel is like you're modeling a dynamic thing using the parts and like sculpting and your own shit.
Yeah.
But it's just a mini that a bunch of people have.
Yeah.
It should have never been allowed in. It was a travesty. I think it won gold, right?
I think it got silver.
Either way, it shouldn't have placed, dude.
Yeah.
It's a crime.
Five minutes are up.
Okay. We're legally obligated to move on.
Yeah. I mean, we can't spend the whole... As two
bitching
guys...
about people who are way better at painting than us.
Yeah, exactly. As two guys who are like tungsten demon at best.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, tungsten, yeah. Zinc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today?
I think we should talk about 10th edition.
Okay. 10th edition. We're talking about doing like predictions.
Kind
of how we feel about the teasers, the spoilers.
There's a bunch of stuff to talk about with this. This is a ripe berry.
Okay, I want to do predictions. We'll do the bulk of this will be 10th.
Yeah,
we will do predictions. But I think we should also do predictions for 1D&D.
Yeah,
and then I think with the caveat of both of these is that we are going to have to, when both of them are released, we're going to have to do an episode where we see how right we are.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
And like, we are going to have to fucking bring laptops to the same room to play virtual tabletop D&D.
Yeah, oh, we're doing that for sure.
And that will happen.
It's going to be very funny.
But you want to start with 10th?
Yeah. Okay, let's start with 10th.
Because I think we're both really excited for 10th,
I'm
right?
Very excited for 10th. I'm very happy with everything that I've seen. I think what really interests me about 10th is that there seems to be very clear design decisions and principles that are being maintained through each of the factions and each of the phases of play.
Yep.
And the mission design. And one of the we talked about this a bit before, but like one of the death knells of like a game is when your design pillars get eroded or blended down or like not adhered to. Like I talked before about how like in Magic the Gathering, like you have different colors and each of the colors do something differently.
Right.
And they can't do what the other color does.
Yeah.
And the more that you... And if you stick to that very hard and fast, it makes the game really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But if you start to blend it for ease of use, which I think 40K has done in the past, where like every faction can kind of do everything.
Yeah.
It makes the game really boring.
Or like things that 40K have done in the past is like, oh, this rule or this entire phase of the game doesn't affect this faction.
Yes.
And then the way that people, well, that's not balanced. And instead of being like, okay, we'll just like not do that, then every other army also gets to ignore that rule.
Yeah, 100%.
Or ignore that phase of the game.
Like leadership hasn't mattered in 40K for fucking
ever.
Like, yeah, we talked about this a bit, just like texting and shit, but like playing Chaos a few years ago and just being like, you have all these rules and they're factored into the points. So it ends up like fucking hamstringing you in a bunch of ways, but you have all these rules that make like minus one to leadership of the enemy unit or like fucking blah blah blah, but it doesn't matter because everything is effectively fearless and like, doesn't care.
Yeah.
And that sucked bad. But like now they're like very clearly being like, no, we're gonna make morale a part of the game. It seems like.
Yep.
And so like even a faction that like in the lore is not supposed to, you know, like a hive mind or like a Necron army
or like a fucking Emperor Zealot Marine or whatever. You can come up with fucking stupid reasons why everything.
Yes.
Oh, well, they shouldn't run away. And it's like, yeah, but that's boring. Just make it part of the game.
Boring,
make it part of your strategy.
Also, like, it doesn't, people take mechanics so literally. Like, I was on DACA fucking.
Well, that's your fault.
Yeah. No, I love it, man. But people are like, Necrons are supposed to be like fearless robot, like there's no, they don't fear anything, so like why would they run away? And it's like, okay, but that doesn't mean that they literally never suffer like command breakdowns or their version of command breakdowns because they're an unknowable alien.
Yeah,
same with like the Tyranids and stuff. Like that can be reflected 100 different ways. It's a game. It has to function as a game. And like, maybe like dumping 1,000 heavy bolter shots on a unit of Necron warriors, like, fucks with their connection to
the mainframe.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. Like, there's a billion ways that you can think about that. And the, so too, like, the way that they've expressed the Necrons, like, they're mostly like near automata, being led by these like nobles who remain semi-individual. That's been their fluff since like fifth, which is like fucking a million years ago at this point. The way they expressed that in the past was just like, they have a high leadership. And that was at a time in the game when like there wasn't a lot of interaction between characters and units in the sense of like, other than like bestowing their leadership. Whereas now characters and units have a lot more interaction with each other. So the way that they can express that is like, the character has to be with them to bestow it. That makes sense. It's the same lore being expressed two different ways. One of them just happens to be way more potentially impactful to the game.
Yeah.
And I prefer that.
Totally. Yeah. I love their tank teleporter shit. That's cool.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Just like, there's so many cool uses for that of like, being able to reallocate troops instead of just being like, oh, I have guys riding in this tank.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, this flank is getting fucked up. Abandon that whole flank. We're going to teleport these guys over here.
Yes.
It is so sick.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
And like, that's what I'm excited for is like, there seems to be a lot of the base rules. And this kind of goes into our thing about like sticking with Index Hammer. But like, the base rules look much more interested in letting the battle space and the flow of battle have interaction instead of just lethality being the only way that you interact with the game, like, which is boring.
And you, like, I see this in the Tyranid rules as well now, where the rules seem a lot more focused on like, every rule should add something, or like every rule should like reward play instead of like removing something or punishing. So like synapse, instead of being like, oh, you're out of synapse range, you have to roll on a table to see if you kill yourself.
Yeah.
Is now it's just like, ah, you just like don't get this buff.
Yeah.
Is, you know,
you don't get a, like, you don't get a buff and you don't get, and you're now vulnerable to battle shock in a much more interesting way.
Yeah.
Which is fucking great, because in the past they've either done like, they've done very binary rules, like, you're out or you're in. And that is,
if you're in, you're fearless, and the leadership phase of the game doesn't matter at all.
You either ignore this part of the game, which, like, why is it in the game then?
Yeah.
Or you are severely punished for it. And, like, this is much more interesting, where, like, you have a big advantage to one aspect of the game if you're in it, but if you're out, like, you lose this and that.
The way that they've been like, oh, there's no troop tax anymore. You don't have to take troops. There's no force organization chart. But so far from what we've seen is like, every troop unit
is very good at holding objectives.
They all have like a really cool special rule that it specifically affects objectives. So it still incentivizes you to take troops, but you're not penalized if you're just like, I want to run an army that's like 7 Carnifexes.
Totally.
Like,
well, because it's like, it actually incentivizes proper structure of an army list, but in a way that's more interesting than you just have to do this and that. You have these restrictions here and there. Mm-hmm. We talk about restrictions being good, and this is another way of expressing that, where it's like, and in a more interesting way, because restrictions have to be interesting in order to be good as well. The game is about scoring objectives. So you want troops who are the best at scoring objectives, but you want to take ancillary stuff to support your troops in taking those objectives, rather than the way that the game has been, like, list building has been for a long time, I think. But then this might be just me being bad at the game too, but like, I need to take the most stuff to just kill everything.
Yeah, totally.
Like, if it's not extremely lethal, it's not worth taking. And like, extremely that's lethal the bar or of success.
Extremely durable.
Yeah, that's the bar of success, is like, can it kill and can it not die? Whereas like, it's more interesting to have a game where it's like, what can this unit do in a particular phase to achieve a goal?
Yeah.
And support another unit in achieving the goal. Whether that's like scoring objectives or like move, like, I love that you get a bonus to your armor pen if you're higher, like physically higher on the table.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Which is fucking great, because like, it's one of my biggest pet peeves with 40K has been that it's never not a good idea to move forward and shoot if you can. Where like putting a unit or like Overwatch being like, if you move, I can spend a CP to shoot at you in your phase.
Yeah. And yeah, expanding like, Overwatch from just like being charged to like any movement.
Yeah.
Is like, because it is, it makes my movement way more tactical rather than just being like, oh, I'm just going to run this whole blob right out in the open and then
charge you.
And then charge you is like,
which is sick because I can use a unit, I can have a unit on objectives. You charge your like, termagants or whatever, hormagants, the stabby one, forward to try to get the charge. But before you get that charge, I can shoot at you to
maybe with impact. A weapon that forces a battle truck.
Exactly.
Test, like,
so you have to like think about those things, maneuver in a way of like that forces you to hug line of sight a lot more.
Yeah.
It's not like you can just run into the open and be fine.
And so I think this is the thing is that like we're getting into like really specifics of what we like, which is cool. But I think the broad stroke of why you and I are so excited about it is that like every new rule that I have seen has been a way of like mechanics reinforcing narrative.
Yes.
Of like
that's
every
so huge.
Every game mechanic that I've seen so far, be it the way that they've shifted their overarching rules or the way that they have like come out with like new faction rules, everything has been in service of like the lore and the story and the narrative of the game.
Yeah.
Which is fucking great. Cause in the past it was like you had to forge the narrative and you had
it's on you as a consumer.
And a lot of people are really fucking bad at that. Totally. You know, like a lot of people are like, oh, so I guess my guy just fucking, and it's like, no, come up with the reason for why your guy just fucking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, yeah, man. It's great to see like the, and reinforcing, cause there's one way to which is the way they've done it before. Again, it's just like all lethality. It's like this unit is a hyper competent, does this and that, so it's really good at killing, or it ignores leadership or something like that, instead of like it wants to do certain things on the field and interact with certain, like the fucking hive swarm lord being like, we talked about this too, like in the past the way you expressed a swarm lord being this like super smart, or the hive mind being this like super smart conniving thing, is just like it'll just always pass leadership, like, essentially. Whereas like they're expressing it this way with like it generates a CP every turn. It fucks
it can,
with your opponent's.
It can fuck your CPs
exactly.
Up,
it like fucks your opponent's command. That is a mechanical. It's using the mechanics of the base game to express lore, which is so interesting.
Because that is the idea of the Swarm Lord being the hive mind's like perfectly engineered tactician super soldier, and having that represented in gameplay mechanics where it like all of its abilities specifically revolve around command points is so much more interesting than being like it's fearless.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, that's nothing to do with command.
That's incredibly boring.
Yeah,
like
exactly. And like and also like the idea of command, the concept of command coming into the game a lot more, like Battleshock, where it's like in the past, it's like you fail the leadership, your guys run away, which is one aspect of the breakdown of a command structure, like command and control. But command and control is about maintaining an army or like a unit's ability to function in the field and achieve its objectives.
Yeah.
So the idea that like when your unit fails leadership, when the command structure breaks down, they can't cohere. So they can't hold an objective effectively. They can't take and execute orders represented by stratagems.
I love that you're not allowed to use stratagems on them, because
so
that
good.
Is like that works for Marines having like comms breakdowns. It works for a unit of like fucking hormagons being severed from the hive mind.
Yeah,
and
briefly,
returning,
even though they're in synapse, like briefly, like they've
just
taken
like returning
so much
to
violence.
Base instincts is like, again, it's like just fucking like it works narratively for every faction in a way that like. Ah, they're fearless is like boring
and
doesn't.
This is a design thing that like I love, which is like keep things broad but impactful, and you can make the lore fit there with by tweaking the margins. Where it's like if you try to make a bespoke rule for every fucking thing, it becomes unwieldy and actually becomes so narrow that it doesn't express the setting properly. Like, we talked about this, our classic example of like the short sword versus the scimitar.
Yeah.
It's like the scimitar, by making the scimitar have special rules, you've disincentivized using the scimitar potentially. Like, yeah, it becomes silly. So, like, yeah, keep it broad but intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm very, very excited. It's very fun.
What's your favorite thing about the Marine drop?
I'm a big fan of that. They seem to be going away from like the distinction between Primaris and non-Primaris. Just like I want that to wash away from the game.
It's silly, right?
It's like stupid.
If you want to run Firstborn,
it was
it doesn't make any sense to me at all that Firstborn have different rules from Primaris.
It was a business decision.
Sure,
very, because like the vast majority of 40k players have Marines. How do we make them not use the, like, why are they going to buy like a fucking gravy floaty tank if they have six Predators at home?
Yep.
Well, or like a Land Raider, and then they won't buy the new like big transport. Well, they can't. The new transports or the old transports can't take Primaris for some reason.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, I guess I got to buy new shit.
Yeah.
But now I think they've sold enough Primaris.
Like every they've met their quota, and now everybody can have fun
in
again.
In the past like 7 years, or however long it's been since Primaris came out, they've all of the Marine players have now bought a replacement Marine armory, essentially. Yeah. So they can loosen up the rules.
Yeah.
It's very meta. Which is why I'm glad to see it fucking leave the actual game.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I want to fucking run land. I want a drop pod with 5 Stern Guard coming out of it.
That one Stern Guard with the fucking pig face helmet, dude.
Dude, they have to bring it back. It's the best. It's the best. It's one of the most iconic things in all of sci-fi, and yeah, it needs to come back.
That it's the Mark 7?
Mark 7 Space Marine.
Best helmet. Fucking helmet. Mark 7, and then are the beaks are Mark 4, right?
The beaks are Mark 6.
6?
The one right before it, yeah.
Those are the two best helmets. There should be no other helmets. I don't give a fuck.
The new helmet is dog shit. It looks
the one with like the like Halo. The slits?
Yeah, so it's based on the Mark 4. No. Yeah, 4 helmet, which is a Heresy era helmet,
mm-hmm,
which it looks fine in Heresy because it was like 10,000 years ago and it was just like all like different, but doesn't work in 40K because it doesn't look evil enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like the pig face, the Mark 7 helmet looks, your brain knows that this is a bad dude.
Yeah.
This is a bad dude.
It's because it has the Darth Vader grill. Yeah.
Yeah. You see, it triggers your like Darth Vader,
your 5 year old. Like,
yeah, this is a bad guy. Yeah. It's great.
It's also like, I really, these new Terminator kits that they're releasing look great, but I hate those Terminator helmets.
I love them.
They're too,
you mean the sculpt specifically?
The helmet specifically is too rounded. I need it to be more
flattened,
like sharp.
Yeah.
I need corners.
But like, so are you not a fan of the old, like the Terminator helmet in general?
I feel like the old Terminator helmets had corners. I don't know.
They are the exact same. They actually didn't change anything design wise pretty much, except for scale and stuff in the new Terminators.
Let me look this up. Vamp a little bit.
Well, I love the kit. I think it, well, I like the kit. I think they look a little bit, there's a problem that Games Workshop has in their design right now where like everything is a bit too like athletic looking.
Right.
And that I like the Terminator should be, I think, a bit more, and Marines in general should be a bit more plodding and like cumbersome looking, like literally like walking tanks.
They look weirdly fast, which I get in like every.
They're supposed to be fast in the world, but they shouldn't look fast. It should exactly be like shocking that they move as quickly.
It's supposed, it's supposed to be like surprising that they're fast.
But I'd love, like, dude, the Chaos that the Terminator helmet, when it's used by Chaos with like the fucking elephant tusks and shit, is so cool.
That shit rocks.
But yeah, it's a great, a classic. It's a classic. I'm so glad they didn't make like a Primaris version of Terminators.
So I'm looking at, I don't know, this like looks a little bit more blunted and like hard corner angled.
Yeah, we're looking at a third edition Terminator right now.
Yeah. Whereas like the new ones have like the bottom, like where the tusks would come out, is like very curved in the new ones.
Yeah.
It looks too soft. It looks too angular. It's what you're saying. It's like the design language of Marines and especially Terminators should be like slow,
bulky,
plodding, bulky. Like,
yeah, they look a bit lanky.
Yeah.
They like, so I will be using 3D printed guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a guy who sculpts Terminators that look fucking, they're like
mm-hmm
solid blocks. So I'm going to be using those, but I will probably get the new kit for like bits.
Totally, yeah, of course.
Like arms and shit like
that. Do you have someone that you're going to split that box with, or are you just looking to get just the Terminators?
Oh, the big box? Yeah, I don't think I'll buy the big box. Okay. I'm going to do...
I'm 1,000% going in on the big box with our boy, Paul.
You got it. It's a fucking... If it actually is $300 or around there, that's a huge... There's a fuck ton of models in there.
47 Tiernan minis.
And like one big guy for like $150. Like that's a good... That's actually a really good deal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't even know what the Psychophages rules are yet, but
awesome.
I will kill and die for that model. Yeah. It's so sick.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. I also like, I do want to get my hands on the like captain, because I want to convert
him. The guy with three knives?
No, the Terminator captain.
Oh, okay.
I want to convert him into a chaplain, the master of the Reclusium.
Sick.
Because I'm building like, my project is for the listeners, I'm doing my homebrew chapter, and I want, as part of this, I'm going to do the entire command structure of the chapter. So all 10 captains, the master of the Reclusium, the master of the Forge, like the chapter, like the entire command structure. So I think he'd make a good like Terminator chaplain.
Totally. Yeah. That's awesome.
I don't know if they're going to make Terminator chaplain rules, but I don't give a shit. I'll use them anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Forge the narrative.
Forge the narrative, bitch. It looks, it's crazy like how excited our group is to play 40k again, because it's been so lukewarm on 40k for so long.
Well, like it really, and I think the big caveat here is Index, right, is that it's like we are very excited to play the new edition of the rules.
This is a huge
as it
topic.
Comes out
yeah
on release day. I am less excited for 9 months when like a bunch of like codexes have come out and ruined everything.
So this is the topic that I'm very, this is the product folk aspect of this conversation, which is that like everyone, like I think that in general the like public opinion seems to be that the rules look good,
mm-hmm.
people are excited, but everyone's like, but they're gonna ruin it with codexes. And I agree, they will ruin it with codexes. There's not the pattern of Games Workshop's behavior has been they release a very good edition.
Yeah.
The rules for armies at the beginning of the edition are very good because they need to actually sell the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So the game is good. They need to like fit the glove.
Yeah.
So it tends to be very good. Everyone is always like, yeah, when indexes come out, that's when the edition's the most fun. But they're going to ruin it with codexes. And I'm like, then don't fucking buy and play with the codexes. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Like I understand...
I think it's cool to have a book with a bunch of lore for your dudes in it is sick. Where I actually don't mind the codices.
Codices.
I don't mind them that much. What I do, I don't like the campaign supplements and the fucking,
so this is
the Psychic Awakening and the Blood of Baal.
So let's park that for a second because there's another topic about this with the new cards. But I think first...
The cards look sick.
Which is, again, very cool
if
they do it the right way. But with the codex, it's not that I don't want the... I mean, I prefer not to have to buy another book.
Yes.
But it's not per se that they're going to redo all of the faction rules throughout the edition that is a problem. The problem is that the pattern has been that they do that very poorly.
Mm.
And so, like, I don't want to partake in that. I don't want to play a less... People are, like, perfectly willing to pay for a less fun version of the game.
Totally.
Because it might make them win games more.
Yeah.
Which is fucking insane. Like, that... if you spell it out to people like that, like, no one would actually say they want to do that. But everybody does it.
Yeah.
Because people are so unwilling to be like, let's just play the version of the game, whatever the version of the game that is the most fun and that we all enjoy the most. Let's just do that.
Yeah.
And like, so that makes sense to me. That just makes sense. On the campaign book stuff. Yeah. I agree. Like I have not been a customer of the campaign books because I'm not buying a fucking $70 book every month and carting that around and learning all these like
to have access to like shit. A couple of extra stratagems,
just like one extra rule.
Yeah,
so people are like, oh, this rule makes my unit way more, our army way more efficient. I'm gonna buy this and like lug it around. But I am very willing to buy a pack of cards every month or 2 months that has a bunch of new missions. Like if they're like, this can't, we're releasing a campaign that's like fucking Tyranids versus Guard or like Eldar versus Orcs. And this is the campaign bunch of missions. That is awesome.
Yeah.
I will That turns me into a customer.
Here's a couple new gambits.
Yeah, here's new gambits. Here's like, yeah. Like that, I will, that makes me a happy customer.
That rocks. But that's, I'm not, yeah. It's such a good way. And it's like, there's no reason that you couldn't have like a little fluff packet come out with that deck of cards.
100%.
Couple of cool maps.
Yeah. If they did, here is a bunch of fluff, it inflates the price of the deck by $20. Then I wouldn't be willing to buy it every month. But
you buy the ones that you're interested in.
I buy the ones that I'm interested in. I don't have to lug that fucking pamphlet around with lore. Like, it's just a cool collector's item. Like, that's way, I'm way more likely to buy that.
I think the thing is, you buy the campaign, or you buy the season, or you buy the whatever that you're interested in. And maybe you miss a deck or two, but like, somebody that you know plays a fucking Blood Angels army.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, I want to buy the one. So like,
do you want to play with me?
And
like,
and it's different because it's like when it was campaign book supplements that had new rules or new psychic powers or new stratagems or whatever. Now you are, by not buying that book or not knowing what's in that book, you are at a fundamental disadvantage to playing the game against somebody who does have that. Whereas if it's a deck of cards that you randomly draw,
yeah,
it's a more even playing field.
It's, you know, more, what I mean? It's a more valuable product as well, because like, you're not, you're giving, you're expanding the amount of play that there is. You're not, and very focused, like selling that as like, here's more game.
Yeah.
Not here's your army shoots better.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about that. It doesn't, like, I don't play the game so that my army can shoot the best it can shoot.
Yeah.
I play because I want to play in the universe of Warhammer.
Here's some fun mission rules. Yeah. Here's some fun. I love this whole like gambit thing.
I love it so much, dude. It looks so, so sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you,
I love how fucking, because you read the like the Warcom article on gambits, and I love how fucking salty they're being. Some fucking sassy bitches.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, you can't build your army around gambits even if you wanted to.
Yeah,
you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
it's wild.
The community outrage that I've seen over, oh, well, like, I can just roll 2d6 and win the game. And I was like, no, man, you have to fulfill a very specific set of circumstances.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of
requirements that come up to that. Yeah.
Yeah, and you need to hit a fucking 11 on that 2d6. Yeah. Like, it's just like, it's a way of keeping someone in the game if they're getting fucking shit kicked.
Yes.
Right?
Like, I will play, like, how many games have we, like, extra turns have we played where it's like, let's just see how this, even though you won, mm-hmm. let's just see how this fight goes.
Because
we want to see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
What the gambit does, it actually like mechanically inserts that into the game.
Yeah.
Like it puts the moral victory into a win con.
Totally.
Where like before I'd be like, I'll feel good leaving this table.
If
my fucking chapter master kills your avatar in combat, that will feel good to me.
Totally.
And even though I won't have won the game, I'll win a moral victory.
Yeah.
That's in game design has turned that into an actual, you could win the game. It's a huge long shot.
Yep.
But even the attempt would feel good.
Totally.
Like, it feels much better being like, and you know, if there's no way to do it, you just be like, I can see, blah, blah, blah. But if it's like, fuck, there's an opportunity for me to win the game, I'm going to go for it.
Pivoting the mission rules for, I love the idea of like, pivoting the mission rules for only one player halfway through the game
mm-hmm.
is like, there's like, yeah, if you were in a war,
yeah,
like as ridiculous as that is to say,
yeah.
But it's like, if you, as a tactician, as a general overseeing like this army,
the circumstances have changed. What's the win I can take from this situation?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, we're not going to be able to do the thing that we set out to do.
What is plan B?
Yeah. Commands are coming in from fucking somewhere else. That it's like, if we're able to do this on this battlefield and at least like stop them from doing whatever,
yeah,
somewhere else in our galactic fucking conquest, this will help. Yeah. Sick.
Yes.
Do it.
And the fact that they're framing them in narrative ways, that one of them is like, you need to secure the place to trap them so that you can fucking nuke them from orbit. The
orbital bombardment, that rules.
Nuke yourself.
Yes.
That's so 40K and so sick. Like, so I want more of that. I think it's great. I'm very excited for it.
I can't wait to see the rest of the gambits being released. Yeah.
Like, I think there's only three.
Yeah. But presumably every deck that they put out will have an additional three.
And right? If they release, that's the cool thing too about like decks. We could like make our own decks, like combine cards that we like discard ones that we don't like,
yeah,
to create like a deck of like bespoke
mm-hmm.
only fun shit.
Yeah.
And like, I don't understand, like, because people are like, everyone's so fucking, events have like ruined, melted people's brains.
Every like, top comment on Reddit is like, well, how will this affect the event scene? And it's like,
who gives a shit?
Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You're playing it wrong.
Yeah.
It's like fucking being given a box of screws and being like, well, how will this affect my hammer? Fuck yeah. You.
Like, it's a different... It matters, but it's not like, it doesn't matter to how the game should be designed.
Yes.
Like, it should not be designed as a tournament game. Also, when you play in a tournament, you don't know what the mission is until you roll up on the table and read the fucking mission. So what's the difference between that and it's being drawn randomly?
Yeah.
Like, it's curated, and a tournament organizer can actually be like, these ones are a little bit too random, so we're going to take them out of the mission pack. And they're also designing tournament decks. They're designing like...
Yeah.
So who gives a fuck, dude? Like...
No.
Play the game. I just like, I can't stand the thrust of like the idea that the game should be designed around tournament play is horseshit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I gotta say about that.
I don't like, I really want to do an episode on like events, and I want to have a couple of our buddies who are like big
event runners.
Like, event dudes who like run, but they're like more narrative based events and stuff. Like, we'll get into that. But it's like, because I do think that's a really, really interesting part, and is indelibly like part of the hobby.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And it's not to say that like, if you get stoked about fucking grand tournaments and you go to the fucking Las Vegas Open and shit, it's like your experience of the hobby is not any less than anyone else.
It just shouldn't be how the game is designed.
Exactly. Like, and but I also think that there is a avenue for events and tournaments to incorporate elements of narrative.
Well, that's the thing. The reason that I kind of shit on events a bit is because the game has been so broken
mm-hmm.
that it's not a fun thing to do. And because it's so gamey, the like aspects of it that make it distinct as a hobby, like the idea that, like, remember that London Grand Tournament happened a few years ago, and like, did you see this, like, the big kerfuffle about it? All the tables had like the worst terrain you've ever seen in your life, like unpainted styrofoam and like
L-shaped. What the fuck? Dude,
and they like it's like the London Grand Tournament. It's like the biggest.
This is a thing that people paid
and traveled to from like all over the world, and the game being designed around tournaments. I think the downstream effects is that you get things like that where like the terrain doesn't matter. Even though like all the tournament goers were like, this is horseshit. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
But it becomes more possible and more acceptable because the game becomes like Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if the game attracts people of all types to want to partake in events, because I enjoy events, I want to go to them. I want to, like, when the local club does like an event, I want to like go and play 40K.
Yeah.
But if it's if the game is fucked, I'm not going to have a shot at even like having any fun.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go. And when types of players like me who don't want to go and the game becomes super gamey, the quality to it. I'm not trying to pump myself up as like, I'm the reason, but like,
it's
a model war game. Like, you need the fucking story in there.
And it's the thing that we said, that the best thing about 40K, the thing that makes 40K good as opposed to any other tabletop war game, is the lore. It has very little to do with the rules or the mechanics or the actual gameplay.
Can only be bad. It can't it can only break it. It has to be good. Like,
for me, it's a thing where it's like, for a lot of tournaments, when it's just like a contest of who is better at exploiting rules or who is better at list building, or even if it comes down to like who, even if it was a completely balanced game and it's like the only point of this is like who is better at tactics, it's even that, which is the ideal form of the game,
yes,
it still removes the element of a narrative. It still removes the element of role play. It still removes the element of like universe and world building and fun and,
well, it's like
interest anything good.
I'm down to go and play, you know, five games of 40K in a day at a tournament where like I'm only interested in winning. I'm into that if the act of playing the game makes me feel like I'm in that universe while I'm doing it. You know what I mean? Like, that's cool. If the tenor is like, just come and beat face. Like, tool it up, come and beat face. I'm into that if the game makes me feel like it's happening in the world of Warhammer. Yeah. If it doesn't feel like that, then I'm not interested in it.
Totally.
Because it won't. It's fucking. Yeah. Why wouldn't I just do anything else?
Yeah.
Like, that's not Warhammer.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the key for me is, like, that's what the game rules can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what's your, give me a prediction for 10th edition. It can be a big prediction. It can be a small prediction. It can be multiple, whatever. Give me some.
So my prediction is that they, and is how Games Workshop will approach it, which is their like pathological tendency to have one foot in and one foot out.
Mm.
So they will release the decks like for, mission decks. The game will be good at launch. All the rules for the armies are going to be free. But they will also at the same time continue to do what they've done for the past 15 years, which mm-hmm. is bloat the game through codexes. So it'll be half streamlined and half just like we're going to do things the way they were because it's a publicly traded company and there's going to be like people being like, don't take risks. So you can do some risks, but as long as we're continuing to do the things that have made us money, which is we release codexes, they will release campaign books with fucking rules in them at the same time as they release the stuff that we were just talking about,
mm-hmm.
which I'm okay with because I want those decks and I want, like, we can find the game that we want to play in it if
yeah.
the core rules are good. But yeah, that'll be my, that's my prediction. And they will continue to do what they've done, like, unless they prove me essentially this. I expect Games Workshop to do what they've done,
yeah,
unless they prove otherwise,
kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I feel like I have like very specific, I don't even know if mine are like predictions so much as like a wish list, but they're mine are much more like specific.
Yeah,
I think Chaos is going to get one unit with a special rule that they get buffed based on how many mortal wounds you take from your like dark ritual.
That would be actually super sick.
I think
that's
like,
a
I think,
really good idea.
I think Demon Princes should get like stronger the more wounds you take.
That's a really, really good idea.
Yeah. Because there's a bunch of like I think it's like, is it like the Legionnaires have like a rule that lets you like re-roll your Dark Ritual test? So it's like if you fail and take wounds, you can re-roll it to not take those wounds. But it's like maybe you choose not to take that re-roll and like sink the wounds so that you can buff something else. I think that would be really fun because I've seen a lot of Chaos players like complaining like we get the only
kiss curse kind of thing where
They're like we're the only one who gets a universal special rule that like or like Dude, we're the only one who
that's
gets
that's
like,
an amazing idea. That's such a good idea.
Like an army special rule that has a potential to hurt us, and I think it's like you could balance that by like making it a potential boon somewhere else.
That's a really good idea. Yeah, because it's like I like that it's you might choose to dark. Pact on
dark pact unit. That's the actual yes thank
on a,
you
on a unit of cultists and just be like I don't care if all of you succumb to mm-hmm. demon possession, you need to fucking shoot at this unit.
Yeah,
with the idea that might boost the demon prince is just like
yeah,
that's a really good way of balancing. That's a very good idea. They should do that. We should house rule that if it's not in the game.
And I think that I think in some way they're going to figure out a way to give. So, like, the current, like, Synapse rule that they just released is that, like, if you're in Synapse range, you get 3d6 for your leadership test yeah. instead of 2. And I think they will replicate that with orcs to recreate. It will either be if you're in a mob of 20 or more. If your unit size is more than 20, you get 3d6, which is kind of a throwback to the old mob rule where you're fearless. Or they'll do, like, a thing where it's, like, if you have a boss pull... Like a knob with a boss pull,
yeah.
You can do 3d6, but you take a mortal wound, or you take d3 mortal wounds, or something like that.
What do you think WoW is going
to
be?
So that's my biggest thing actually. Is that like I've been really trying not to be, like doomy about the new rules coming mm-hmm. out, but there are certain. It's hard to look at the new rules and not contextualize them with the edition that you're used to or the edition that you've played before. It was really, really jarring to me to see that the Swarm Lord has the same leadership as a Gene Stealer.
Right.
Is a thing where it's like, and I understand that with 3d6, like rolling lower than a 7 is about the same probability as like they just release Abaddon's rules and like he he has the same probability of failing leadership on 2d6 at a 4+ as right. the Swarm Lord does on a 7+ with 3d6.
Yeah.
So the mechanics fix that, but it's like the just seeing the stat line or seeing the rules is like there's a knee jerk reaction there.
Yeah, but I think
and so for like, Wog specifically yeah. is that like whatever the Marines thing is, where like every turn they get to choose a doctrine or whatever. Yeah. One of their doctrines is you can charge after advancing.
Yeah,
which is like cool. So Marines get Wog.
Yeah,
like because that is that's what. That I mean, like they changed it in the most recent codex to they split it between like the Wog and the Speed Wog, but the core tenet of Wog for a really long time has been charging after advancing.
One thing that would might make it cool is like because the restriction on the Marine one is that you do it once per turn, which,
yeah,
once per game,
yeah,
which is what Wog used to be. But it would, might be cool if like every unit could do it once. So like you.
I mean? That ruins the fluff of like just one like, bellowing war cry and this is the true. Wog. I would make it, I don't know, maybe like the charge after advancing and then give them a bonus to hit. Or I also think it would be really cool if like Wog had an effect on battle shock.
Oh, that's really interesting. Like no units can be affected by battle shock.
No. It's like any unit that you successfully charge while wogging has to take a battle shock test before fighting.
Yeah.
You force your wog, your charge forces
that would be
the
good.
Enemy.
That would be good, but also like if every unit that is every orc unit that is battle shocked becomes unbattle shocked.
Mm.
Or like you're immune from battle shock for one turn because yeah. like the wog is so powerful that like
using a war cry to affect leadership yeah. in some way, I think would be really fun.
Yeah.
There's stuff you could do.
But really quickly on that synapse thing,
mm-hmm.
Because we talked about it, like I think it's actually so good. Like, because I was so bummed out about Synapse and Ninth becoming just like another of the many auras that exist in the game.
Dude, I'm so stoked that it seems like they're like pulling back on the bubbles. Like,
well, it's like, yes.
But that like, shit rocks.
On Synapse, like, the idea that like the Swarm Lord, yes, is like a tactician, super soldier of the hive mind. But without the hive mind, he's nothing. Just like every other Tyranid.
Yeah.
So, like, the fact that, like, that. He does all of his like command shit as like mm-hmm. his super smarts, but he needs the synapse to do it. It's so good.
Totally. It's also a thing where like I, as a dude who hates named characters, I'm never going yeah. to play the Swarm Lord ever.
Like, is he a one? He's not unique. Isn't like every fleet has its own Swarm Lord?
He's the Hive Tyrant equivalent of Old One Eye, where it's like every fleet can have an Old One Eye.
Oh,
it's like bioforms that the hive mind recreates across every, but there it's like
you oh can, he has you like can, memories and shit.
You can take multiple hive tyrants in a detachment, but you can only take one Swarm Lord. He's the Tyranid equivalent of like Mephiston,
right,
or whatever. So it's like I'm just like never gonna play the Swarm Lord because I think
your own and use the rules, like, you know what I mean. That's what I do with special characters. If I want to run them, I'm like, I will never use this model.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I would just rather have like my own cool hive tyrant that's like yeah. my dude, you know?
Yeah, big time.
Fuck
yeah.
that.
Is there one in the box, Leviathan? The Swarm Lord?
No Swarm Lord in the new box. I think the
Screamer Killer is so sick.
The Screamer Killer fucking rocks. I'm really stoked on the, because my whole thing for when I do my like hive tyrant is that I want to do like a winged hive tyrant, but I want to do bug wings. So I'm gonna get like,
yeah, you gotta do bug wings.
I'm gonna get our buddy to like 3D print the plague drone bug wings for yeah. the hive tyrant. So I'm gonna use that winged Tyranid Prime is gonna be kind of like a test run, like for proof of concept of like where on like the shell to put the
restraint on wings. That model is so good.
Yeah,
I'm so glad that it's not like.
And
like
yeah.
splayed, like
yeah,
fucking so sick of that pose on everything.
It's gonna be really cool. I think what I'm gonna do for that is have like the claws and then like take the wings off and do like an underslung like huge ass gun.
Yeah,
I
do like. I understand why you're taking the wings off. I think it's a good call with the bug wings. But mm-hmm. I do like that it's like walking around like a bat.
It's yeah, that's
fucking
sick.
Cool.
It
yeah.
rocks. All of the new Tyranid minis, the fucking
the little psychic dudes,
the big They're psychic so, guy, the big guy fucking rules. Brain bug yeah. looks incredible,
so dude. Awesome,
dude.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for that box. That's gonna be awesome. Do you want to? We'll do like really quick 1D&D because I know that we're like not stoked on 1D&D, and this has been like the first like. Positive episode that we've had in yeah. like six
hugely
months
positive,
like, hugely positive,
hugely like, yeah.
But like, so one D&D, like from what we've seen so far, because they did that YouTube video with the virtual tabletop that was fucking stupid.
That was dystopian, dude.
We have drop down menus where you can choose if it's dark or if it's raining, and it's like, what if I just, hey, it's dark and it's raining. Like,
yes,
it is. Like, Chad, cool.
Yeah, I could, like my jaw was open in that video.
I could not believe.
I was like, this looks fucking terrifying. Like, just like D&D is about people getting together and having fun together and connecting.
And everybody's looking at a computer screen. They're sitting in the same fucking room looking at a computer screen.
The funniest thing is that, like, in that video, there is a map on the table, because like, it's like, well, we have to actually make it look like a D&D session, because if everyone's just on their phone or
on their computer, it's kind of
like a meeting in an office.
Yeah.
So they put physical dice on the table
that nobody is using.
Nobody touches. Dude,
the funniest thing about the virtual tabletop to me is the worst part of a D&D tabletop is when you set up all your minis and you have your map and you roll the dice and it gets in the way of the map and knocks over all the minis.
Yeah.
And they've animated that into the virtual tabletop. Like, why would you not have a separate fucking window with like a drop down box to roll your dice in? Why would you roll the dice so they ricochet off the dice that don't exist are ricocheting off of the miniatures that don't exist and ruining my immersion that doesn't exist. It's the worst.
I cannot tell you how much I hate this thing and I want it to die. It's a fucking abomination against God, dude. The fact that like they're implicitly, by having a virtual tabletop with like a certain art style, they're telling you what your imaginary world looks like.
Yeah.
Which,
fuck
like,
you. That's not what it looks like.
Dude. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'll tell you what it looks like.
Disgusting. And like, so I looked up like before we started recording the a press release thing where like they talked about like what were the requirements for success for this thing, and they were like fun, believability, and convenience or something.
Oh, the convenience of owning a $1,500 laptop,
at least. Like, they were all using like fucking MacBooks, which now cost like $2,000.
Yeah,
and it's like at the low end, and it's like, are you what? Like, how is this accessible? Like, the game is a book and a pen and dice and paper.
You don't even...
It's the most accessible game in the world.
Yeah, like...
And you're putting it behind, like if you're...
And there's a monthly subscription paywall.
It's a monthly subscription.
Yeah.
And, like, how are you going to be like, hey, you want to join our group? Yeah, sure, I love D&D. Okay, do you have a MacBook
and
a subscription to this service? Because we really like playing on this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is fucked.
I'm so... The thing about it is that I'm really, really excited to try it out. And I do want to, because I think for as much as like recently we've been kind of like clowning on like D&D, I think that's way more about like the culture of D&D.
It is 100%. And Wizards of the Coast. The
and
company.
Wizards of the Coast specifically. But I think that like 5th edition is like a really good game. At its core.
It is a really good game.
At its core, it's really, really well designed.
Yes.
Especially because recently I've been like, we've been doing a lot of like game design stuff for
we'll get to that.
But it's like looking into like legacy games and being like, because my assumption was always that like I was like, surely in the 70s games were very simple, and then as they came out with new editions they got more and more complicated.
Nope.
And then they and then they simplified it for 5th edition, and imagine my surprise when I go and fucking dig up a PDF of AD&D and I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
You're immediately like, yeah, you deserve to be bullied.
Yes, totally. This is the most, like, I would have bullied shit. You. Like, this is insane.
Yeah.
So it's like, I really like 5th ed for the game that it is. I appreciate how it's streamlined. I appreciate the way that you have base classes.
It's
that
very well-designed game. Yeah.
Splinter, you can choose to like... specialize as
does,
you level
it. My only criticism of it is that, like, aside the culture side of it aside, is like it doesn't do a good job of expressing the type of worlds that I like,
sure,
and set and tones and settings that I like, but the game is very good. It's very well designed.
Yeah,
it works logically, it feels good to play,
and I do so one of my big predictions for 1D&D is that I am sure that they're going to keep a lot of the core game mechanics from 5th, because I don't think the
rules will change almost at all.
I think the rules are going to be really similar. I do think that like certain subclasses are going to be paywalled.
Oh yeah,
like
for sure. Yeah,
yeah. Subclasses, magic items, like monster manual,
everything cosmetic, every
there's going to be a whole bunch of shit that is paywalled, and it's going to be incredibly frustrating. But I do think that it's like, I think that it's going to be frustrating for somebody who wants to like delve into the game but doesn't want to like put in the money, the way that it's like you could just buy a book that would have everything. But I do have, I do have a certain amount of faith in Wizards that I think the like core base level of the game is still going to be pretty fulfilling.
I think it's gonna be the exact same.
It's game. Like you might not be able to play an arcane trickster or whatever, but like you could still play a rogue and have a great time playing a rogue.
Well, that's how they have to monetize it, right? Because like the product is the virtual tabletop.
Mm-hmm.
That's the like selling point. But you don't need that to play the game, obviously. So they're gonna hook you in. It's a combination of like hooking you in with like being like, ooh, neat, like the game, like the virtual tabletop is cool. I like doing this. This is cool. But if you want to keep, you want to actually play the game on the virtual tabletop, you could buy the books, but you might as well buy them.
What do you think? My biggest intrigue is like the level of the virtual tabletop and like miniature creation.
That's gonna be a huge part of it.
Totally.
That's gonna be, do you think that's gonna be the core? That's also the core
problem. So there's obviously going to be like set, like there's gonna be presets. There's going to be like a create a character mode.
Yep.
Do you think, like, how in depth is this create a character mode?
I think it's gonna be,
are you gonna get like,
the style is gonna be like, they're gonna be minis, mm-hmm. but it's gonna be like you can buy, they're gonna do cosmetics the same way that like a game does cosmetics.
Sure.
Like, do you want the rogue set? But like you can buy like a bunch of rogue outfits and like mix them with other outfits that you buy have in your collection. Like that's what it's gonna be.
Physical features? Are we going like Skyrim? Are we going like Cyberpunk and Conan? Are there gonna be boob sliders? Are there gonna be like dong sliders? Are you gonna be able to
in a perfect world there would be, and then we would all play the game. It's gonna be like it's gonna be
the level of the
base,
the,
like there's gonna be like buy a new face and like you can change it to any skin hue that you want, kind of thing. Like that's what's gonna be
the Venn diagram of Reddit D&D culture and furry culture. I hope the
two overlapping circles.
The overlap two overlapping 100%. Circles. I really hope that there is not a dong slider option, because that's just
there
a
be.
Recipe
there
for disaster.
That, like Wizards of the Coast is the most like
chased, but
like that their player base is also like kind of like Twittery and Reddity in the sense of like. Like they got the fucking wheelchair rogues and shit, dude. Like they're gonna have a dong slider. Are you insane? Are you crazy?
No.
But yeah, it's gonna be. I think watching that video was the saddest thing I've ever. Like the idea of like tabletop games, like the thing that makes them so powerful and unique, especially like now, is the fact that they're unlike any other recreation,
mm-hmm.
In its like sphere of frivolous entertainment, to use the term frivolous kind of like loosely, because obviously it's not like we care about these games a lot, we love them, but you don't use technology to play them. You use like your hands and your time and your like relationships with other people to play them.
Yeah.
And when I saw all those people like fucking around a table staring at the screens playing D&D, I was like, that is dark, dude. That is really dark.
The thing for me that got me about that video was like the like it felt scripted.
Oh, what do you mean? Of course it was
scripted. Like them being like, wow, I'm so glad that I can use this, and then they use like the name of the feature.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just like,
well, it's like you saw it and you see it in what they show of what, mm-hmm. what they believe the game is, where they're like showing off spell effects.
Yeah.
And it's like,
they look awful.
They look like shit. And it's also like, is this what you think the game is? And it is. For a lot of people, the game is like, I got to roll heckin' 3d6 to the fucking fireball. Woo.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, oh my God. Like, this is just garbage. This is like shovel trash, like consume fucking.
It does the engine, like it looks like a phone game from like 7 years ago.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
It looks really, really behind.
It looks because like Wizards of the Coast is not a fucking game development studio.
Exactly. Yeah.
And like that's the thing too, is like if I want to play in a like virtual world, I'll play a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Because the video game can do what role-playing games can't, and the role-playing games do what video games can't.
Yeah.
You're pick what you're going
to
be.
You're trying to turn D&D into like Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
Or like Final Fantasy. Turn-based virtual games already exist.
Yeah.
And like have for a really long time.
And like how the other thing too is like
how are you gonna,
how does I'm thinking about like myself as a DM trying to DM a game with a bunch of people looking at their fucking screens and yeah. being like, I'm explaining something to you and everyone's looking at the static, like their character on a little hex. And like, so you're dividing your attention. Like
mm-hmm.
you're in a real role-playing game, like we're all in the same space.
Yeah.
Like
it's dark. We have candles on. We are wearing robes.
We're drunk as hell.
The vibes are immaculate.
The vibes are there. But like, what do you, so like, okay. Now everyone look at me. All right. We're in combat. Now everyone look at your screens.
Yeah. You're like directing a fucking PowerPoint. Like,
yeah. It's like, what the fuck is that?
No. I'm really interested. I do want to try it. I just want to see.
Oh, we're going to try it.
You know?
For sure, we're like, going to try it.
I just want to know.
Yeah. I want to know, too. It's going to be gross.
Yeah.
It's going to be really funny, too.
It's as excited as I am for 10th edition, I am, like, the polar opposite about 1D&D.
It's supposed to come out at the end of this year.
Okay.
So, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's gonna be funny. Should we get the whole group together?
Yes. Of course. We're gonna. Everybody is gonna come over. We're all gonna stare at our laptops and not actually interact with each other.
Oh my god! It just sounds so miserable. Like it sounds like, oh, like it would be so much cooler if we just played Halo and like a LAN party. You know what I mean? Like that sounds way more fun.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It has to, like, I'm really interested to see if it succeeds or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there a market for that? It seems like there shouldn't be. Like,
yeah.
Enough to sustain the amount of money it takes to sustain a infrastructure that can support a mm-hmm. virtual tabletop that has, like, fucking graphics and all that shit.
It's also going to be interesting to see the, parasite industry of live play D&D YouTube and podcast.
Yeah.
That like how is the virtual tabletop and how is 1D&D going to affect what is largely an audio medium?
Yeah.
True. Like
that's a really good point.
Yeah. How is Critical Role going to,
I mean, they're not
going to
do it, those thieves.
You know what I mean? But, like, that's, like, Critical Role or, like, fucking The Adventure Zone
or,
like, whatever.
That's the point,
like,
too, of, like, why the fucking thing is absurd. It's because, like, the explosion of D&D, like, was large. Like, there's a lot, like, the live play stuff had a lot to do with that because it showed people what the game is.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are successful because of the intangible social interactions with the people on Critical Role. Their personalities, their fun with each other, their the mm-hmm. fact that they're, like, engaged. Nice. It's, like, that's what the game is.
Yeah.
And so like nobody would want to watch, well, some people would because people watch Twitch and stuff, but even in Twitch is like I don't know. It's the game. It's just like that's not what the game is.
It is fundamentally missing the essence of like what is good about it for I would argue the majority of people.
Yeah. Because again, it's like it's selling you the icing without the cake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally.
It's what a moron looking at D&D would think is like going to work. Is what it is, the value of the game.
Totally. Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's swords and dragons and shit. So what if we showed them the swords and dragons? Mm-hmm. It's like, no. The swords and dragons is the icing.
Yeah.
The cake is the you and your friends.
Yeah.
That bond that you form together by playing the game. That's what the value of the thing is.
Mm-hmm.
That's human, but like they don't. That's fucking wild, dude.
Yeah.
You want to talk about Matt Mercer stealing my shit?
Yeah, we can talk about Matt Mercer stealing our shit.
Dude is releasing a game called Daggerheart.
What the fuck?
That's my game. That's the game we've been developing.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
That is, if any of our listeners have any idea of like copyright law.
Dude, yes, please.
Like, Because there is we have recorded proof of us over a year ago saying we are developing a role playing game called Daggerheart. Yes. It is out there in the universe. I'm not saying that Matt Mercer listened to it, but he probably did.
He probably did.
Because it's cool and we rock. Yeah. But it is a thing where it's like, can we keep using that name? Can we just still use that? We do have there is a precedent. I don't know shit about the
worst,
law.
The worst thing about it is that like the horrific gothic fairy tale game of Daggerheart is going to be represented with furries and demon girls with big boobs and shit.
Fucking grown ass men wearing leather wristbands.
Oh my god. When I found out that he was making that game, I was so sad. I was so sad.
We need to come up with a new name for Daggerheart.
I know.
It sucks.
It sucks, dude.
I think. What about Critical Role?
Yeah. Fuck, man.
We're going to call it Fuck You, Matt Mercer.
I mean, like, these two, like, I think Matt Mercer's, like, a chill dude. Like,
probably very.
He seems like a very nice guy. Like, yeah. I don't know, but he, like, Critical Role represents, like, a certain part of D&D culture that, like, we kind of find repulsive.
Yes.
No personal thing on any of the people who make it.
Mm-hmm.
But just like if I had logged into DriveThruRPG and there was like another game by like some guy who had like Daggerheart, called Daggerheart up for like $5, I'd be like, ah, shucks, it's already taken. But the fact that it was fucking Critical Role, I was like, not like this. Not like this.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm so disappointed.
I want Daggerheart to be the most popular game in the world. Monkey's Paw Girls.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Oh, it's the worst. It's the coolest name. And I made it so long ago, and we've been using it. Oh, no. Fuck.
Axe Lung?
No, dude. We're going to have to figure it out. It's got to be... But that's okay. We're still working on it. It's shaping up really good.
How's hobby progress? How's Daggerheart going? What do we'll get into hobby progress.
I revised the character progression rules based on our notes from playtesting.
We got that hobby progress wise. That playtest of simultaneously, it was supposed to just be like playtesting a new combat.
Do not reveal
rules.
any mechanics because
we know
Matt's listening.
Listen up, Matt. You get nothing from us. The combat playtest for the new combat system was supposed to just be that, but we had to roll new characters for it, and in doing so, rejigged a lot of the like character progression rules as well. And I think that was a very fruitful test session.
The way, like I will say, like the way that we've been, again, we're coming back to like design principles.
Mm-hmm.
One of the core design principles of this game is that like you don't get to design your character. You can direct your character, but they develop as part of play and your choices in it, which I think we're honing in on. It's like one of those things, but like when we decided on like that as one of the pillars, it becomes a lot more easy to find opportunities to express that mechanically.
Totally.
And that's started to work.
Yeah.
I do need to like the next piece is I just need to write out all of the background to specialization parts of like when you hit level one after level zero.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be the next piece.
So this, I really want Daggerheart progress wise or like goals wise is like I have like a group of people now that I have locked in that are willing to guinea pig.
Yeah.
Like to bring this outside of like.
Yeah.
Because we know our play group is like fucking locked in.
Locked into it, yeah.
And it's like I do want to. I have like a couple of friends that are like D&D or like.
Nice. Yeah, that would be like, that would be actually invaluable play.
That I really want to run just like a character funnel for them. So it's like I need you to get the rest of that shit finalized so that I can.
I'll carve some time out tomorrow actually to just like it's an Excel spreadsheet. I just need to like fucking dump all the info in.
Yeah.
And then I think it would be good. What I'll need some help on actually is I'll post it in the Discord. Is I'm going to need some help on the progression tables.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that everything is in the right spot.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think it's good because I think we did the combat rules. We have the progression.
I think it's also the abilities.
The abilities is the next big piece. Yeah. Yeah. Which won't matter so much for levels running a level 0 to 1.
Yeah.
One shot. But yeah, that's the next piece. We're gonna have to. I think we should do that collaboratively as a group.
Mm-hmm.
Pull out all the abilities from
Worlds Without Number.
From Worlds Without Number, but also other games that we like.
Mm-hmm.
See what matters. Also, like cut them down and develop new ones. As well.
I think less is more, like cutting them down and then yes. filling in the gaps with new ones. Yeah, absolutely. I have bad news and I have good news.
Okay.
So the bad news is that when you play Gloomhaven,
uh-huh.
as your character progresses, you unlock new miniatures.
Okay. Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
But the good news is I have already completed painting.
Oh, my God.
The two new miniatures. I just got to base them.
Yeah.
But that's been my big
do you have a next up 40k goal before the Leviathan box comes out?
Yes and no. Because I did those two Gloomhaven minis. When I was doing those, I also primed a bunch of other stuff, and so the actual next like painting project that I have is I got those Theodens.
Yes.
So yeah. I want to get those Theodens.
I forgot about the Theodens.
Yeah. I want to get the Theodens painted up. And then I have that second edition Screamer Killer that you got me for my birthday last year, which is like just in time for the Leviathan box set to get the new Screamer Killer. So it's like, that's kind of my workload before
that'll
Leviathan.
Be fun. If you paint that and then like use it as like a, and then you replicate it on the new one.
Exactly.
That is extremely sick.
So that's kind of that's like my painting goal stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you?
I got to paint some of my homebrew Tac Marines. I'm going to prime some when we go over to play Stargrave after this.
Sick.
I got to finish up. I have two Heresy models for this that I need to finish too. Contemptor Dreadnought.
Thanks.
And a Whirlwind.
Are you working towards anything for Heresy? Is there an event coming up? Or
no. I just really like the game. It's
sick.
Fucking good.
Okay.
I played Paul the other day and it was fucking awesome. About it. Fucking teeth. It's great.
That rocks.
Yeah.
All right, hell yeah.
You got cocked, dude.
You got cocked. Instagram, CockedPod.
CockedPod.
Bugs I Hate Bugs.
Dorn to Raise Hell.
Leave us a review.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo.